You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Brand Now, How to Stand Out in a Crowded, Distracted World. Many former On Brand guests are already raving about Brand Now. Jay Baer calls it the quintessential guide to modern branding. Stacey Grissom of BarkBox says Brand Now provides practical tools and a helpful framework for building a brand both online and off. Learn more, get special extras and additional resources at brandnowbook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Kevin Dean. Kevin is experienced president of marketing services for North America, the primary data, identity linkage, and audience activation partner in the advertising industry today. Dean joined Experian in 2011 as Senior Vice President of Global Product Management. Prior to joining Experian, Dean spent 10 years in leadership roles at Equifax, and previously he served as Director of Marketing at Cendant and Marketing Manager at Vitamix Corporation. Kevin received his MBA from the University of Akron and holds a BA in History from the University of Akron as well. Kevin, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Excited to be here today.
I feel like you could be the brand ambassador from the University of Akron.
Perhaps. maybe I'll add that to my resume.
Well, there you go. There you go. It is. It's always important to identify those brand ambassadors, which I could say we could make a really clumsy segue into what Experian is all about. Correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So Experian, the way you want to think of Experian Marketing Services is a business that's rooted, especially in the marketing services unit, it's rooted in identity, data, and distribution. And when you think about those three coming together, you've got identity across, and it's ubiquitous across all of the devices and personas that we have, your phone, your laptop, just go all the way down the line. You have multiple devices that have identities that are connected to you, either the device itself or the apps. And you've got all the data, the behavioral data that occurs, and then certainly distribution of ad content or media content into those devices. It's that intersection of those three and those three by themselves that really make up what Experian Marketing Services is.
So for the data layperson that I am, I don't know if I'm a layperson, but I'm certainly not as in the trenches as you are there. As you talk about ubiquitous across all devices, one question stuck out in my head, and I don't know the answer to it, and it seems a little basic, but is all of this ID data distribution, is this more challenging? Is it harder? Is it easier? I guess is what I'm trying to get at, because I could kind of see it both ways.
I would characterize it as more challenging in if you're not skilled at what you're doing. And being a data-driven company that Experian is, we've become relatively masters at identity resolution. And it's something we've been doing for 40 years. And it started relatively simply as how do we take all of the various data inputs that come, but they were all centered around an offline postal identity. But we've built skill over the last 40 years in resolving those identities with a purity that allows us to be very confident that we understand a name and address pair, and we're accurate very, very, very confidently. As the industry has matured, especially over the last 10 years, as devices have proliferated, we've taken that skill that we had developed years before, and we've applied that to all the new forms of identity. And so these would You think of postal name and address. These would then go into IP address, email address, social ID. Just run down the line of those various identities that are created, and bringing those together. It's skill. It's a lot of hard work that got us to this point. But it's one that we're very proud of.
Well, it seems like those pathways are only more complex. I feel like with all media, it's gotten more diffused, more complicated, and what used to be a fairly simple transaction is now so much harder. Whereas, you know, you used to be able to simply buy TV, send mail, identify information with that postal address, but now we leave... Sounds gross to say it like this, but we leave little bits of ourselves all over the place.
Yes, we do. It's I don't know that it sounds gross. It's but certainly it's one where data has become a currency by which a consumer is enabling certain content and certain activities to occur to better help their daily lives. And I know that I, as a consumer, when I take my data hat off and I leave, and let's say I'm traveling or maybe even just doing a normal chore like going into the grocery store, I want to make sure that when advertisers reach me, it's relevant to what I am and who I am and what I'm about to do. And that relevancy, it's really critical for me to have a lifelong relationship with a brand. And I really appreciate when brands take the time to resolve identity and understand the behaviors associated with that identity and treat it appropriately. And that's really, again, that's what Experian's all about.
Well, you said something in there too about critical to have a lifelong relationship with a brand. And I think that's where a lot of the week-to-week listeners of this podcast are probably sitting out there nodding along. Yes, that's what we talk about all the time. But the data that it takes to do that and to do that well, and the steps to organize that data can be a very heavy lift. But to avoid that is really the opposite of the first steps of that lifelong relationship, because you risk treating some of these people that are very close to your brand in a very, very bland way.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you've described it perfectly. If you don't want to engender a lifelong relationship, continue to do what you're doing in most cases, and that's what you'll have. You'll be very transactional, and you'll always be looking for who is my next customer going to be, and how do I build that prospecting base to fuel what I'm losing on the back end. Done right, and your existing customers become very profitable, and they stay with you a long time.
So assuming that folks out there listening have now been sufficiently frightened and don't want to do what you laid out there in the first part of the scenario, which was keep doing what you're doing, what are the first steps that someone would take? They're sitting here listening and realizing, oh my gosh, we aren't organizing our people. What is the first kind of the first line of that, I don't want to say battle, but what's the first thing that we need to do on that checklist?
Yeah, I think the first thing you're going to want to do is an internal data inventory and understand everywhere that you're collecting data across your consumer touchpoint ecosystem and understanding where those data conversations or data points are occurring is really, really critical to understand what I'm going to do next. Understanding if I've got two separate channels or 10 or 15 or 20, it helps define the gravity, and some would even go so far as to say gravity of the problem. But you know, I think turning it into the positive and talk about the expansiveness of the opportunity is probably a better way to think about it.
Yeah. So what is, the kind of, if we've talked about keep doing what you're doing, we've talked about the basics. Is there a good to great of what most are doing and what is really next level when it comes to understanding those that have a relationship with our brand?
Yeah, I would tell you that experience so far is brands that have than traditional CRM marketers were early adopters, and they are further ahead. However, as I say that, I look at the brands that over the last 3 to 4 years that have very large budgets, they've been very aggressive, and they're not behind. If they are, they're not very far behind at all. And I can think of some brands that have done a very effective job, especially over the last 12 to 18 months, and how they interact with consumers, but even going so far as how they productize understanding who my consumers are going to be and where those touch points and media channels are going to activate. But it certainly runs the gamut. But I would say it really starts with, if you look at who was doing it well, it's the legacy data-driven marketers from 15, 20 years ago.
So I like those categories too, the CRM folks, the big budget brands. What about, this might be one I'm going to, it's the dumb question hour here. Like I said, is it easier? Is it harder? The other basic question I have is you talk about the big budget brands. What about the less big budget brands, the small to medium sized businesses that might have traditionally thought, that's not something that's, I think the thinking used to be that that's not something that's at our level of business. Is that changing?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and thanks for calling that gap between those two. It certainly is, and we're seeing. And it's interesting where the touch points come from. Sometimes it comes on behalf of the agency working on behalf of the brand. And sometimes it comes from the brand itself. And it's, if there was a rule of thumb to describe which, what leads the conversation, that'd be great to share that. There really isn't one. But it is true when you think through the opportunity, companies, brands are seeing these opportunities, and they're getting a sense that the opportunities are too big to solve internally. And so that's when they reach out to a company like Experian to help solve that identity challenge and how they solve for that and make that consumer experience all that more impactful, both for the consumer and for the brand.
So I would imagine that brand side, that there are some inflection points that present themselves, some very specific challenges that lead to this bigger conversation. If we think of the medical profession, are there symptoms that data challenged businesses present with?
Yeah, I'm sure there are dozens of symptoms in each one. it's certainly going to be business dependent. But I would say the one that's probably most common is the CMO, who is really self aware and business aware and examining where their revenues are coming from, where how effective their marketing dollars are. I mean, it's really hard to ignore all of the very positive press. If you're subscribed to any of the trade publications and you've got agencies and brands talking about success as it relates to digital media, and they'll start to test inside of digital media, and they'll have some success, and then they'll get frustrated as they realize they're creating more consumer touch point. More consumer channels, but really not understanding the consumer journey inside of their own shop. And that's really when, as they've tested a little bit and they've gotten a little bit of success, they will then try to come in to say, well, it feels like we've got a larger opportunity. Let's bring somebody in to help us solve that.
Well, and that sort of, you talked about the self-aware CMO, and I think that role in particular, it seems like it comes up every few episodes here. The short, relatively short tenure of the CMOs, and I think that from that self-awareness standpoint, thinking about having that impact that it's in the data where we can do what we're not doing, where we can make a dent in what's already there in the most effective and probably, when it comes down to it, efficient way possible.
Yeah, that's very well said. And if you think through, as the CMO, I mean, look, the role of marketing has been data driven. We're looking at reports to understand whatever metrics we use to measure our success or failure inside of any marketing program, it's a data-driven role to begin with. And when you're thinking about as a CMO, I want to engage across the platforms that are popular right now. And we can think in our heads, well, all of those media platforms, whether it's addressable TV or even linear TV or anything on social network or display advertising, those are data-driven conversations to start. And it starts this natural curiosity. Well, how do I become better at this? How do I become expert? And you get into this testing dynamic where you're continually testing, trying to beat your control. And it starts to build momentum inside of your business that, hey, we've got a world of opportunity as it relates to data. Let's be better at data. And it's that self-aware CMO that's asking all of the right questions. And really, you think about the CMOs, they are gaining so much more prestige and power inside of the organization that they run, that their budgets are increasing, and it's up to companies like Experian to build and enable tools to make that CMO even more successful.
You know, all of this makes me think of, we talk about data and some of the shifts around that. I want to pivot to something that might seem a little odd, but do you find yourself in the industry, in the business of data, talking about kind of some of the bigger conversations on privacy, on personal information? How is that intersecting currently, individuals' privacy concerns with how brands are collecting, organizing, distributing data?
Yes, we do, and more so. And you can look, a year ago, a year and a half ago, and you can look over at the European Union and hear all about GDPR. And more recently, you can hear about the California Consumer Privacy Act. It's a reality that's not going away. But, for me and for Experian, privacy is at the heart of what we do and the way we work. And we constantly are working closely with regulators and strictly comply with all the data protection laws. And this industry does a really good job of doing that as well. We want to make sure that we're guardians of the consumer trust, we're guardians of consumer data, and we want that data to enable better consumer outcomes. We want for things where you have meaningful interactions with brands and relationships with brands that are deeper than what they'd historically been. But yes, privacy is central. It's a central tenet. And as I said, it's a critical piece of what we do here at Experian.
Are there, it could get into a potentially sticky place, but are there examples that you point to of clients that have used your services and had a real impact? I recognize that I can't share those could be the answer, but I'm just curious about what that might look like.
Do you mean like a positive impact?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there are dozens. And if I spent even a half a minute, even right now, three are coming to my mind. I'm a little nervous about sharing, not really understand. I would have to go back and look and make sure that the contract would allow me. But I would tell you to maybe put some frame around your question without getting into specifics that, when we engage with a customer and we engage across data for good, data being used to promote a brand with consumers, a lifelong relationship with the consumers, the customers are not dissatisfied. And they're coming back time and again, to me, indicates that that we are having some very powerful impact inside of those brands and inside of those consumer relationships.
So even in the business of data, repeat customers and loyalty are pretty big.
Absolutely. It's amazing how that works.
Exactly. A business like the others, regardless. So what do you think, big picture, are some of the, you've alluded to it a bit when we talked about CMOs, what are some of the biggest challenges that you think brand builders are facing today?
Yeah, I think there's three when I just stop and think about it. And you think about these in general, but the first is you know, as you're in a brand, it's hard to overcome silos. And silos are there across, I mean, it could be divisional silos, it could be even data silos, yeah. But unifying those silos, and this has been true for the last 10 or 15 years at least, that is such a powerful force inside of an organization to overcome, but it must be overcome. The second one is accuracy. And so you think about all of the data touch points, the identities that are created, again, social IDs, IP address, email address, cookies, device ID, just go all the way down, offline address. The accuracy in pulling together those identity fragments to enable the one-to-one relationship, the true relationship with a consumer, that is so challenging. And lastly, you think about scaling all of this. And if you really can't scale it across the ecosystem that you're operating, you really haven't solved for much. But those three, when we talk to brands, we talk to their agencies, those are the three that come up time and again as the singular challenges, either by themselves or in concert that we work to overcome.
Those are great. And I think silos are challenging enough when they're people, when you're talking about data, that's a whole additional level of silos. They're not tricky if they're people or if they're ones and zeros. So
you think about it's you know, you've got a different unit that's responsible for brick and mortar, a separate one that's responsible for social, and each compensated differently and each motivated not to really communicate or collaborate with one another. It's a challenge. And if it only occurred once, we could ignore it, but it's human nature. It occurs everywhere this industry goes right now. It's there and it's present.
Well, and usually you have silos, whether they're data or people, and they weren't designed to work together anyway. So
that's exactly right.
So what's next beyond everything that you're working on today? What is something that, as we're looking ahead, that you would flag for our listeners to say, keep an eye on?
Yeah, very, very, very good question. Lately, I've been spending a lot of time, this is maybe the last year and a half, as we've looked at the convergence of mobile and video. And, you know, you travel around the world, and especially if you go to some of the underdeveloped countries, consumption of videos through the mobile device. Consumption of videos through the mobile device. And I see that right now. I have two college-age children, and everything they do, and it's not through social, it's they are consuming all video content through their mobile device. And that leads to some interesting questions. And you think about television linear advertising or addressable advertising on a TV, we're gathered around by the family. That dynamic is changing, and you know, targeting that mobile device or targeting that app inside of the mobile device and making sure that you're developing that very strong relationship if you're a brand, it's critical. But that convergence, I really look at this and say that's going to be powerful the next 3, 4, 5 years. And the brands that are ready for that and working to that now, they're gonna find great success.
Awesome. Well, that is definitely something to keep an eye on. And video, I think, is something that we're all hearing about, but that angle on video and mobile consumption. And yes, anyone out there with teenagers, with college-age kids knows that, instead of sitting in front of their gaming console or somewhere else, they're sitting right in front of you on the island at the kitchen, and they're watching something of their choosing. So it's pretty remarkable.
Yes.
Kevin, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
So, Nick, do you want me to name the brand specifically and give you a little behind it, or just
sure.
In general?
Feel free to name the brand and provide the backstory.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you one where it's an industry that doesn't get a lot of love because we always tend to point out when they mess up. But it's an airline.
Oh,
yes, exactly.
You're not fooling.
No, I'm not fooling. No, but about 3 months ago, I was traveling overseas, and I had I was going to be gone for 2 weeks, and so I had a lot of bags. Uh-huh. And my connecting flight, it was United Airlines. My connecting flight from Chicago to Newark was going to be delayed 4 hours, and I'd already checked my bags, and they were putting me on another flight to go direct over to Europe. And then it was changing itinerary. And I remember I was in the United Club, and I told the lady behind the counter, I wish I could remember her name, I'd call that out too. But I told the lady behind the counter my plight, and it took her maybe an hour to work through this problem. But she said, "Mr. Dean, your business is so critical to us. We really appreciate everything you do. I'm personally going to call downstairs onto the tarmac and make sure that they pull your bags off the plane. If they can't get off the plane, we are going to have them delivered when you get, it'll be to your hotel by the time you get there," because I was going to be delayed about 8 hours through the routing. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when I got to the hotel, my bags were already there. And it was one of these moments where you don't expect, because I mean, that's really hard. I mean, you're going to go and comb through an airplane. You've got all this traffic going out. She did this for an hour, and I was just thoroughly, thoroughly amazed that that singular customer touch point, how successful she was in making sure I was ready to rock and roll the minute I got into Europe. So that was fantastic.
An airline story. It involves international travel and United through O'Hare. So this is the rare brand that's made you smile story. So very good example.
Thank you. I knew that one would leave you smiling.
Yes. And as we start to wrap up, Kevin, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
So they can find me certainly on Experian.com. We have a tab on Experian Marketing Services. I am certainly there, as is my business. Also, you can find me at on LinkedIn as well. I'm happy to connect and talk to your audience about all that I and Experian can do.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kevin. We will link up to all of that in our show notes. Thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you, Nick.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, a future guest, a past and future guest, Jay Baer, gave a shout on Twitter for something I shared about his new book, Talk Triggers, which is all about scaling word of mouth marketing in the digital age. Jay and his co-author, Daniel Lemon, are going to be joining us here on the On Brand podcast in just a few weeks. If you can't wait, check out TalkTriggers.com. And a reminder, if you like something on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. On Brand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping complex organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth. More, including the links Kevin and I discussed on this episode, at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, if something we said made you smile, head over to iTunes, give the show a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.